Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. Big news on Wednesday, a new head coach at Tennessee, but the same coach who used to work for the same AD, they're going to do it in Knoxville instead of Orlando. So Danny White got the AD job at Tennessee last week. He came from UCF. And on Wednesday, he hired UCF coach Josh Heupel, same guy he hired at UCF to replace Scott Frost. Josh Heupel on to Knoxville. And Danny White defending the hire, saying that he was the first option and he was the only one we offered the job to. We all know that's kind of a little bit of semantics. But I don't know. I'm not going to rip the hire. I'm not going to overly praise the hire because I really don't know how he's going to do. I think hiring football coaches is a crapshoot to start with. But Josh Heupel outperformed my expectations for him at UCF. When they hired him from Missouri, where he was the offensive coordinator, I didn't know what to expect. He was succeeding Scott Frost, who had just gone undefeated. He went 12-1 that first year, then went 10-3 in the second year, 6-4 this past year, but they had a ton of opt-outs. So I am very curious to see how Josh Heupel does as he moves up a level into the SEC and will play games with a roster that is not superior in most cases in league play. You know, in UCF, you are the superior roster most of the time in most of the games you play. That won't be the case at Tennessee when you're playing Alabama, when you're playing Florida, when you're playing Georgia, if you have to play LSU on the other side, if you have to play Auburn sometimes on the other side, it's going to be difficult. You've got Kentucky that is very well coached in your division. We'll see what South Carolina becomes under Shane Beamer, but it's a tough job, a big rebuild for Tennessee because of the way Jeremy Pruitt was fired, because of the guys that have gone into the transfer portal. But Josh Heupel is the guy. Was he the first choice? I don't think he really was. I think there were probably some sitting Power Five coaches that they kicked the tires on. But honestly, it's very hard to hire one of those guys if you are Tennessee right now because you just had an investigation into alleged NCAA rules violations. You found so many that you felt like you could fire your head coach and not pay him his buyout. So if you're a sitting head coach in the Power Five making a lot of money and someone comes to you from Tennessee and says, hey, come work for me at Tennessee, I don't know that I'm super pumped up to take that job. I don't know that I even want to listen because I don't want what happened to Jeremy Pruitt to happen to me. And I realize most people say, well, then don't do what Jeremy Pruitt was doing. Well, we haven't exactly found out what Jeremy Pruitt was doing. But if you're a football coach, you look at that as the school did not have his back. And so that's why the pool for the pool for Danny White was a little bit shallower because he didn't have a lot of guys who normally would have been all in on a very high-paying job like Tennessee. So he goes for Josh Heupel, who's been very successful in the Group of Five, has an American Athletic Conference title at UCF, and we'll see how that works out. I think a lot of it is staff-dependent. We'll get onto all of it with our Tennessee beat writer, David Ubben, and then we're going to talk to Chris Vanini, one of our national writers who covers the Group of Five, about the UCF job, because as iffy as some people were on the Tennessee job, it's the opposite for the UCF job. This is one that a whole bunch of people want. But the catch is they've got to hire an athletic director before they can hire a football coach. And we'll talk to Chris Vanini about that a little bit later in the show. But right now, it's me and our Tennessee beat writer, David Ubben, talking Vols and the new head coach, Josh Heupel. David, how shocked were you that Danny White hired his old coach?
Pretty shocked. You know, it's on its face. You know, you sit around and you say you paid $120,000 for a search firm. You hired the guy that you worked for 3 years. You know, Danny White talked today about, you know, he's our number one option. He's the only guy that got offered this job. Okay, I think there's some semantics there. Like, ultimately, yeah,
that is a time-tested bit yes. of college sports semantics.
Yes.
If you've listened to the George Strait song, Check Yes or No, there's always a little check yes or no note that goes out before a job gets offered. If I offered you this job, would you say yes or no?
Yeah.
Just so check, it's like, check the answer, and then we'll decide if we're going to offer you the job. So, yeah. No, he was not he was not their first choice, because common sense tells us if he was their first choice, Danny White would have hired him 5 minutes after getting the job.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's not really a lie, but it's not really the truth. And it's like, this is just what it is. It's not worth really litigating it. But the point remains, you know, there's some conversation with other people. And the reality is that this job was shaky for a lot of coaches in the sport. You have looming NCAA sanctions. You can't give anybody a firm answer on what that's going to look like. You have a roster that's dwindling. You're going to be under scholarship limits. And you have a job that no one since Philip Fulmer has held for more than, well, really even a full 5 seasons. So, you know, Danny White is a really well-respected athletic director who I think deepened the pool, but did not fundamentally change the pool of candidates. And so that helps, but it doesn't necessarily change anything. And I think, you know, the most interesting question at least is, well, among many interesting questions, is does Josh Heupel take this job if Danny White is not the AD? I think that's an interesting question. My guess is no.
Exactly. Yeah, and when Danny White says he was our number one option, if you add the word realistic to that sentence, I believe it completely.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's
wrong. I believe he was their number one realistic option, because if I'm a sitting Power 5 head coach and I've had some success, the school that just convened an NCAA investigation and then use the results of that to fire the head coach and not pay his buyout and then fire the athletic director, despite calling it a retirement, I don't trust that school.
$12 million.
So I'm not leaving a stable situation to go to that school. And I think that's probably what they ran into quite a bit as they were passing around those check yes or no notes. I think Josh Heupel, knowing Danny White, that had to help, because honestly, if you don't know Danny White and you don't have a prior relationship, you're asking Danny White the question, how do you know? Because you've only been there 5 days. Like they fragged the last AD. What makes you think they won't do that to you too? And you know, that's the thing with the coaches who probably have decent situations. It's not worth the risk, even if the paycheck is slightly higher, because long term, it may not be worth it for the reasons you just gave. You got the roster's in pretty bad shape right now. They're gonna be hit with NCAA sanctions if what happened was serious enough to fire Jeremy Pruitt without paying his buyout. Unfortunately, the next logical conclusion is then it's also gonna draw sanctions.
Yeah, and so is this a splashy hire? No. So certainly, you know, maybe I'll give Danny White a little bit of a high dive analogy. Maybe it's some sort of a jackknife situation. Can Josh Heupel win at Tennessee? What do we mean by win? Is he going to win an SEC title here? I'd be curious to know who sort of thinks that. It's not impossible. You can do some big things at Tennessee. But can you consistently have winning seasons at Tennessee? Can Josh Heupel do that? Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. But ultimately, you know, all the stuff you say, you know, all that stuff, winning the press conference, that excitement, it can help you. But a lot of guys have had excitement. It win games, like win games, get in living rooms, win some recruiting battles. And this stuff, you know, the splash stuff, the impact, sure, you'd love fans to be ready to throw a parade for your coach. That's not going to happen here. But what does that mean long term in terms of fan base? Not that much, and it seems like the players sort of bought in, and you know, we'll see what that means, you know, a week before signing day and as you take the field in the fall.
We'll be right back after these words. You know who didn't win the press conference? Josh Heupel at UCF. And then he went 12-1 the following year. So it's one of those things where I don't think winning the press conference is necessary. I think it matters if you win games. And what keeps getting pointed out with Josh Heupel is his record got worse as the years went on and went 12-1, 10-3, 6-4. I will push back on that a little bit. This was a weird year with the pandemic. They had a lot of opt-outs at UCF.
10, I believe.
The 10-3 year, they were all very close losses. I don't think that was one of evidence that he was slipping as a coach. I think that you play that season again, they're going to win double-digit games every time, and probably win more than 10 if you keep playing it. So I just I'm not as worried about. I don't have a strong feeling on this hire one way or the other. I definitely don't think he's going to absolutely be a flop, but I don't know that he's going to be gangbuster successful either. Mm-hmm. I do think they're going to play a brand of offense that the fans enjoy. I think they will look more competent on that side of the ball. The defense at UCF was an issue. Can they have a better defense at Tennessee? Maybe. It kind of depends on who he hires. Now, Randy Shannon, his former defensive coordinator at UCF, is the interim coach at UCF. I do not anticipate him getting that job permanently. And I also don't really anticipate him being the defense coordinator at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look big picture at this. You know, you mentioned the style. If you had to ask fans to pick, do you want to lose games 24-13 or 51-41? I know what most fans, if you had to pick between those two, you know, I know what they would pick. And, you know, on the other side of that, are there concerns with Josh Heupel that are fair? Sure. You know, he had really talented teams, probably more talented than his competition more often than not at UCF. And yeah, those things are true. I think they definitely had some quarterback injuries that were a factor in some of those losses, and some of those were close losses. There's reason for optimism. There's reason for skepticism. You know, he talked a little bit too today about his growth after the firing at Oklahoma. You know, I covered him back then when I was at the ESPN from that perspective. And that was an emotional day for Bob Stoops. It sort of made their relationship a little bit weird. But ultimately, it's an interesting, you know, this is an interesting hire. And I think you and I would both agree. We've talked about this all season. It's been true with Brian Harsin. It's been true with Shane Beamer. It's true with Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. I don't know about you. I'm less confident than ever in predicting how these things are going to play out. I mean, Scott Frost, Jim Harbaugh, and Tom Herman, they would have gotten parades. I think Scott Frost may have actually gotten a parade at Nebraska.
I believe he did,
And they don't work out. So it's like, you know, these things, like I said, is there a reason for optimism? Sure. All the reasons we said, you know, fun offense. He did win some games. Wins are wins. You know, you can devalue that with sort of the trajectory and what Scott Frost did there previously. You can. That's fair. Are there concerns? Sure. Can he recruit? You know, why did the program seemingly get worse? All those things can be explained. Call it an explanation, call it an excuse, whatever you want. But this is a different situation. He probably did grow a lot in the last 3 years. And Tennessee is not UCF. They're going to do a lot of the same things here. But this is really interesting. And, you know, like I said, we don't know. Anyone who says anything with any level of confidence is still just guessing, no matter which side of that coin you fall on.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. There are so few sure things. Nick Saban's a sure thing. Dabo Sweeney's a sure thing. Urban Meyer was a sure thing, and then he took an NFL job, and he's not a sure thing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It is the ultimate crapshoot hiring coach, and I was laughing as the Tennessee fans were melting down on Wednesday morning as they learned that Josh Heupel was going to be their coach, because I think a lot of fans, probably more than we realize, are very realistic about this and understand that this was a difficult situation. Given the way Jeremy Pruitt was fired, it was going to limit the pool.
I think that's true. And most fans realize that.
I think most people understand that. But the ones who didn't understand that, who were you know, up in arms that Tony Elliott from Clemson might get hired because he didn't have head coaching experience, and don't like this one because he comes from the Group of Five, and you got to understand, there was only so much you could do if you were Danny White. And so I think getting the guy who he feels comfortable with, who he knows what he can do, we'll see what happens going forward with Josh Heupel in terms of staffing. You know, Jeff Lebby is his former offensive coordinator and was with him when they had some of their best success on offense. He's now with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Now, would he come to Tennessee if he could call plays? Because, you know, we know who calls plays at Ole Miss. Would Lebby want to leave, or would Lebby just stay at Ole Miss? I mean, this is sort of the Lane Kiffin thing in microcosm, because I think a lot of Tennessee fans had talked themselves into the fact that Lane Kiffin would want to come back. But Bruce Feldman brought up a really good point when I was talking to him about this on Tuesday. You know, Lane walked into the teeth of NCAA sanctions at USC. Mm-hmm. Didn't know how bad they were going to be, and then they wound up being terrible. I don't think he was going to go anywhere where there were impending NCAA sanctions. So I think that was a bit of a pipe dream, but you might be able to steal his offensive coordinator, and who knows? That could be very, very helpful.
Yeah, I think that decision will be interesting. You know, the staff will be interesting. I do think you need a lot of guys with SEC ties in terms of staffing. You need that assistant. You know, what happens to Kevin Steele at Tennessee? You know, what happens Rodney Garner if they bring him in? You know, these are guys that know Tennessee, guys that know the SEC that can help him recruit, get a staff that can do that. You know, Jeremy Pruitt's put so much emphasis on that side of things, and they had some success there. And that's not really Josh Heupel's MO. He's more of an X's and O's guy. But you need a staff that can recruit because, you know, as much as you'd like to out scheme, you got to have the guys that can do it. And, you know, now's their time to see if they can bring some of those guys in.
Well, that's where the Kevin Steele thing is very interesting because he's under contract at Tennessee. Now, it's not SEC defensive coordinator money contract, but he's still getting paid SEC defensive coordinator money from Auburn, mm-hmm. which owed him $5 million when that staff was fired. So if they can have him running the defense and Josh Heupel running the offense, I'm actually okay with that, David.
I think
that can work.
This is one of the reasons why the Kevin Steele hire, weird as it was at the time, wasn't insane because it covered your bases. You know, if Jeremy Pruitt was kept around, which didn't seem like that was very likely, but if he was, you've got Kevin Steele on your staff for $450,000. That's a fantastic deal. Guy that was, again, making $2.5 million. I believe he was the highest paid coordinator in the country before that. If he, you know, Jeremy does get fired, we saw that scenario. He takes the interim tag for, what, a week or two, something like that. And now if you hire a new coach, you know, a guy that is putting together his staff, having him there on that crazy good contract for pennies on the dollar, keeping him around makes some sense. And that'll be interesting to see that decision. Another interesting wrinkle in terms of staffing, Joe Ozovet interviewed with UCF like not long ago, a week or two ago, sat down with Heupel about joining his staff. Now he's got to figure out what that looks like at Tennessee. I'd like his odds to stick around. On Rocky Top, and you know, the rest of the staff filling that out will be really interesting. You know, we've already seen Jeremy Pruitt take a job with the Jets. Derek Ansley looks like he's heading to the Chargers. We've seen Jay Graham looks like he's headed to Alabama. So Tennessee's, you know, we kind of have a good feel for the staffers that won't be there. The ones that will be very, very interesting to see how that shakes out.
David, if they keep Kevin Steele, do you think Rodney Garner is coaching at Tennessee? Because older Tennessee fans will remember that Rodney Garner was a pretty key cog in Tennessee's recruiting machine as they were building up and getting successful under Philip Fulmer.
I think so. I'll be surprised if you don't see that happen if Kevin Steele sticks around. It just makes too much sense. The timing is right. The scheme, the staffing, all those things are right. And it's not like you know, Josh Heupel is going to just turn a blind eye to the defense. But I think it's fair to say he's fine hiring somebody that's going to be the head coach of the defense. He's going to have some influence there in what he wants to do schematically. He talked today about wanting to be aggressive, wanting to produce negative plays, which Tennessee did not do at all under Jeremy Pruitt. Wanting to do those things, do those things line up? Can they get on the same page? You have to kind of have those conversations. But big picture, you know, there's a lot that makes sense there.
Yeah, that's the part that I think could be really interesting. And like anything else, a lot of a head coaching hire is dependent on who that head coach brings as the staff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn all that over the next few weeks with Josh Heupel. You know, I don't think there's any reason to poo-poo this hire, and I don't think there's any reason right now to go overboard cheering this hire. I think right now it looks like a pretty solid hire that Danny White had better be able to make since he just worked with a guy 5 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the head coach of a program is a lot like the quarterback. You know, he gets too much credit when they win, too much blame when they lose. I think the average college football fan probably doesn't realize that a coach in many ways is only as good as the people around him. That starts with the coaches, I think. It starts with the players, kind of in the same breath. And, you know, for all the success that Nick Saban has had, and recruiting is a big part of that, he's over here hiring NFL head coaches as his position coaches. Like, that's a huge reason. And a staff has a huge, you know, has a huge influence on what things look like. And you look at Tennessee, some of the staff moves that they made under Jeremy Pruitt, some of the constant churn. I forget what the final number of coaching changes was in 3 years. It was over a dozen. That's not really a recipe for success. But bringing guys in that can succeed, that you agree with philosophically, all those things, those set you up for success. You know, Josh Heupel is going to be the most powerful, most responsible man for Tennessee's success. He is not the only person responsible for Tennessee's success, the only person that's going to have an influence on that. And the decisions that he makes in the coming weeks will be as important as anything else he does at Tennessee.
You can read about 17 stories from David Oven about the Tennessee situation that he wrote in the last 24 hours.
I'm tired, Andy. I'm tired.
I know, David. This is the life of a Tennessee beat writer. Some of the folks who've been on that beat for years and years, I you know, was one of them many, many years ago, and I'll text them every once in a while. and like Wes Rucker, who works for 24/7 Sports, I'll just text him every once in a while and just say, "You're beat, man. You're beat." And that's
I'm learning
all
that
it needs
the hard
to be
way
said
the last few weeks. the AD coach double hire, the internal investigation to oust your coach and quote unquote retire your athletic director while giving him the same money as though he were being fired. What a place, Andy. What a place. This is the Tennessee that I was told I was coming to, and we have seen it on full display. Things I have not seen very often. A variety of things.
And lest we give everyone the wrong idea, Knoxville itself is a wonderful place.
It is.
The Great Smoky Mountains, beautiful, beautiful backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
The I-40 pie at Buttermilk Sky Pie Company. The Big Nasty Burger at Stock and Barrel, my favorite hamburger in the whole world. The Petro's Chili and Chips hint of orange iced tea that I would fill a swimming pool with.
My wife, big fan of the hint of orange. Big, big fan.
It's unbelievable. So, Josh Heupel, go get yourself some hint of orange. You got some assistant coaches to hire. David Ubbin, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
We'll be right back with Chris Vanini to talk UCF and two job openings, thanks to Tennessee, when we return. Joined now by national writer Chris Vanini. Chris specializes in the Group of Five, and UCF has been one of the darlings of the Group of Five for the last few years. Chris, this is an interesting dynamic, though, with Josh Heupel leaving UCF for Tennessee, because it does not feel to me like UCF people are all that broken up about it, even though he was successful there.
They are not. I mean, thanks for having me on, Andy, but it's kind of funny because earlier this week, I did a Group of Five mailbag, and I got questions from UCF fans asking if Josh Heupel was on the hot seat, if he was on a warming seat. And I said to them, I said, the point of view is always fascinating because there's a lot of UCF fans who were itching for a coaching change after the backslide the last 2 years. But Heupel's name would keep coming up for Power Five jobs. And didn't expect him to get the Tennessee job, you know, when this first happened. But yeah, UCF fans are not exactly distraught over the news here.
Well, and the thing about it is, I don't consider 2019 that much of a slide. That was one of those where they lost three games, but they're all very close losses. 2020 was a weird one. And, you know, I would have liked to known what 2020 would have looked like as a normal year with no opt-outs, because UCF was hit especially hard early in the season by opt-outs. And so I don't know that Heupel's the whole Heupel got worse every year narrative. I'm not sure exactly how accurate that is, just because this past year you almost have to throw out.
Yeah, you know, his resume is still pretty good. He, up until the bowl game in which UCF was missing a ton of players, he never lost a game by more than a touchdown. You know, they lose to Memphis on, they miss a short field goal this year. They've lost back-to-back games to Tulsa, but they blew double-digit leads in both of those games too. So it's, you know, the margin of error, you know, went the other way. And UCF fans were upset that sometimes his record in close games was not good. But that's because they didn't play many close games because they were typically blowing teams out. You know, he was sixth in winning percentage among active coaches, you know, in college football. That ain't something to sneeze at. So do I think UCF fans are right to be so, you know, pleased with a change here? I don't think so, but that doesn't necessarily mean I think Heupel's going to do great things at Tennessee either. So it was certainly a weird year, and now it's a complete reset.
Yeah, and, you know, Heupel to Tennessee is its own animal, but UCF is looking for an AD first. They said that today. AD first, then a coach, which I remember when the AD job opened last week, I got a lot of text messages from around the country. How do I get in on that? From either sitting ADs or number twos at Power Five programs, and it's an attractive job. Probably more attractive now that you get to put your stamp on it right away with a football coaching hire.
Yeah, definitely. This was already going to be an incredibly sought after AD job for that. They've got money. They've got a big fan base. They have the ability to pay coaches big. It's in Florida. So there was a lot to like about it. Now you throw in, hey, you don't have to worry about a head coach who fans are souring on, and maybe in a year you're going to have to make that decision and it's going to weigh heavily on you. Now you get to start with a blank slate, and there are a lot of quality candidates out there, and there are going to be a lot of quality candidates who want this job because it's a job that, you know, we'll get into here, is better than a lot of Power Five jobs. So there are going to be people pounding down the door for this AD job and then pounding down the door for the coaching job.
They paid Danny White like a Power 5 AD. That is for sure. Heupel made $2.3 million a year. So that is actually comparable with some Pac-12 jobs. But here's the thing. This is why it's probably better than a lot of lower tier Power 5 jobs. If you don't mess it up, you are going to win big. And I think that makes a massive difference. I know the UCF people get bent out of shape about being used as a stepping stone. My thing is, I wouldn't care if I'm used as a stepping stone as long as the person keeps winning. As long as whoever they keep bringing in keeps winning, you can leave all you want. And maybe that helps freshen things up. You know, you don't get in a situation where they're souring on the coach. But, you know, the resources are in place. They're going to have a lazy river soon. I cannot stress this enough. A lazy river that runs around all of the athletic facilities. It'll be used for tailgating on game day Saturdays. But the rest of the time, it's there for the athletes. And I'm telling you, if Wisconsin's recruiting me and UCF's recruiting me, it's going to be hard to turn down that lazy river.
Yeah, they've got athletic dorms too as well. I mean, everything on that campus is relatively new and it keeps growing. They've got so much land there. They've got an on-campus stadium. They've got an indoor facility. Not only were Josh Heupel and Danny White paid well, but Randy Shannon was the first $1 million group of assistant this year. Now, UCF fans may not be happy with that because of how the defense looked, but there are a lot of resources available here.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that is going to make it very attractive to coaches, and I've already heard that a lot of coaches want this. And let's talk about the profile of the coach, because honestly, we can go with names, but it's hard to narrow down names until we know who the athletic director hiring this coach is. But the type of coach we're looking for, I would say any Group of Five head coach not named Luke Fickle would potentially want this job. And Sonny Dykes probably doesn't want it, but most of the head coaches in the Group of Five would want this. And I'd say a lot of the Power Five coordinators, even the seven-figure ones, would be very interested in this job, because while being a good Power Five coordinator does put you in position to get hired as a Power Five head coach at a major, major job, this puts you in position to get paid if you do well.
And like you said, you know, being a stepping stone, you're only a stepping stone if you win. you're not a stepping stone if you lose. True. And so, you know, we've seen Houston go through a number of coaches who went there and then took bigger jobs. And then Houston said, "Now we don't want to be a stepping stone." And they end up with Major Appleboy, and that doesn't work. It's actually funny. They didn't want Josh Heupel to be a stepping stone, but then Danny White leaves and it kind of becomes that whole thing. So yeah, like you said, the pool of candidates interested in this job is limitless. Honestly, in some ways it could be a comparable or even better pool to the candidates that Tennessee had.
I would argue it's better because what you said, no sanctions. And there's a lot of people who are just clamoring. Now, here's the thing. Tennessee, the no's they got, and I know what Danny White said, but they got some no's. The no's they got were from sitting Power Five head coaches, successful guys, you know, maybe an assistant who could potentially be in line to take over a dynasty. That's okay. That's all right. UCF probably isn't in line for those guys either, but there's a bunch of people that would be excited. And that's the difference. The Tennessee job, anybody who was seriously considering it was also going, "Ooh, okay, I got to deal with the sanctions. I got to deal with this." It is 100% full go for whoever gets that UCF job because you are getting another facilities upgrade that I just mentioned. You're getting a good roster. You're getting a chance to recruit an even better roster. They're very hard, you know, it's very hard to find things to not like about the job.
And there's a path to major bowl games. UCF has played in three of those BCS and New Year's Six games since 2013. Tennessee hasn't played in one since 1999.
It's amazing.
You don't need to play Alabama. You don't need to play Alabama, Georgia, Florida every year, and you can still get to those games. The competition is not the same. You can recruit top 50 classes there. It's got everything you could want. It's better than a lot of Power Five jobs for that exact reason.
Can I bring up a conspiracy theory that it's never going to happen, but I think the people involved should pursue it?
Do it.
If you're Scott Frost, do you not go to Nebraska and be like, "Look, this isn't working. I know you don't want to fire me. I'd really prefer not to get fired in 2 or 3 years or whenever you're going to do that. How about you just let me out? I'll go back to UCF. I'll say it was for family reasons, whatever. I'll make something up. And I go back to UCF and I win. And then you keep all your money and you give it to somebody else."
I love the idea. I think it would maybe be a good idea for Scott Frost, given the number of transfers the Huskers have lost this past week. It's clearly not going well. But it's his alma mater.
It'd be very hard. They're never going to do it, but it would be such a good idea.
A lot of UCF fans have brought it up. It would be fun. I think it would work for all parties involved. Yeah, I don't see it happening either.
No, but it's one of those that it makes too much sense and everybody would come out clean. And I'm worried that if this goes a little bit longer, some folks not coming out clean from that situation. But yeah, I think, you know, we've seen assistants' names. We've seen the Jeff Lebby thing's interesting to me. I saw his name pop up. And we don't know that is Heupel going to try to steal him to go to Tennessee? He's at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin now, but he was the offensive coordinator for Heupel at UCF, and that marriage worked very well. So that's one. What sitting head coaches do you think would be a good fit there?
You know, there's a lot. I think Sean Lewis at Kent State, it would be largely the same thing. Kent State was number one in yards per game this past year, high profile, high octane offense. UCF was number two. You know, he's got a good track record with quarterbacks there. It would be a fit in terms of style. I think Jamie Chadwell would be interesting at Coastal Carolina. I can't believe I didn't hear his name more for that job.
That offense with the kind of players you can recruit to UCF, because I'm just thinking of their skill guys over the last few years. Imagine, so Dylan Gabriel, by the way, was originally committed to Army, was going to run the option. Jamie Chadwell's offense is option based, but it is not like Army's. It is more, there's a lot more throwing going on, but imagine Gabriel Davis or Killens or all these people in that offense. I mean, that would be insane. Some of the speed they've had.
Yeah. Well, that's a big question. Was going to be a big question for UCF this year is they lose a ton of those skill guys from they've had the last couple of years. So they have to reload there, but they do have Dylan Gabriel. The thing is with Jamie Chadwell is that Coastal Carolina started spring practice this week.
Yes.
They're already in helmets and he has a new 7-year contract. I haven't seen the details of.
I think UCF can afford it. They just got some buyout money from Tennessee.
That's true as well. So you just wonder some things with the timing, you know, could that work? As for some other coaches who could fit, you know, head coaches, Lance Leipold is a guy who Danny White hired at Buffalo.
Yeah,
you know, way back when he won 6 Division III national titles. He's taken Buffalo to 2 division titles in the MAC. So those guys would fit as well in terms of sitting head coaches. Jason Candle at Toledo, he was a finalist last time this opened, but it's been a tough couple of years for Toledo, so I'm not sure if he would be as high this time around.
Yeah, I'm curious about the coordinators. You know, Rhett Lashley at Miami, I think that's one that he would look at. He had some great success at SMU working with Sonny Dykes, so he knows what that league's all about. And you know, he's looking for that jump to be a head coach and probably would like to eventually be an SEC head coach. But you know, here's the thing about UCF and the stepping stone piece of that, Chris. The way they can pay you, I think if you're winning a bunch of games, there's a potential that you're happy there. And maybe you don't, like a Luke Fickell situation where it would take the perfect job to dynamite him out of Cincinnati.
If you're making $2 million living in Florida, your family's right by Disney World, you have a chance to go to the New Year's Six, you know, every year, and who knows if the
Disney World expands, you're much closer where UCF is to Bithlow, where they have camper racing on the figure eight track. So trust me, there's entertainment options aplenty.
they put out on May the 4th last year, they put out a graphic showing just how far away they are from the new Star Wars deal at UCF. And honestly, if I was someone looking to work there, that's the kind of pitch that would work for me.
Yeah, it will, and especially it'll work for a lot of coaches' families too. They'll be kind of pumped about that, and that was the joke when Vanderbilt opened. You know, Vanderbilt won obviously the toughest job in the SEC, but that's one for coaches' kids and wives. They are on board. Let's go to Nashville. So that this kind of the same deal here in Orlando, and so I think this is going to be a very intriguing search because, like we said, we don't know really what names we can narrow down to for the coach until we know who the AD is. The interim is Scott Carr, who has a lot of really good experience, by the way. He's been the external affairs guy at Auburn. He's been at Southern Miss before. So if it winds up being him, he's got a lot of contacts. His dad's actually one of the original search firm guys, Bill Carr. Yeah. And but then you've got other candidates because, honestly, everybody wants this job. Danny White's brother is at Florida Atlantic. You know, would you consider him? Would you consider like Jeff Purinton, who's the number two at Alabama, who's a Florida native, who worked at Florida State for a while? One thing I think is interesting from talking to people down in Orlando is they don't want somebody to come in here and come in there and say, well, this is how we did it at insert Power Five school. They want to know, how are you going to create a model for this school? Because UCF's a really interesting environment. It's this massive student body, 60,000 students, but it's not an old school. They didn't start classes there until the 70s. So, you know, you don't have a ton of history and you don't have generational donors. You know, you've got people kind of learning how to be alums and how to donate. So you are dealing with a lot more 4- and 5-figure donors then you are 6- and 7-figure donors like you would be in the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. So this is going to be an interesting race to see who gets that AD job.
Yeah, and you've got other forces, you know, working against you sometimes. There was last year, UCF and Danny White set up a big naming rights deal with the stadium. with a roofing company for the stadium, and the Florida legislature basically pulled the plug on it. And that's why the stadium was called the Bounce House this year, because they didn't have a naming rights deal for it.
Still the most accurate name for it, though.
No, yeah, without a doubt. So, ADs will be plenty interested in this job for those reasons. Like you said, it's not broke. Danny White was breaking fundraising records for them. So it's not like a situation just like with the team. You don't need to come in and rebuild anything.
Yep. So going to be very exciting in Orlando. Don't cry for UCF. They lost their AD. They lost their coach. They still seem to be smiling right now. So we will keep our eyes on Orlando. Chris Benigni, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep. Thanks for having me.